old friend stopping by here at the HIA. His name is Steve Levy. You know him well. Former county executive, assemblyman, all kinds of years in government beyond in Suffolk County. Common sense strategies. I love that when I get the memos and everything else. And I'm part of that great team also of CMMLLP. That's right. Campolo, Middleton, and McCormick. Did I get it all?
I had to put that plug in, Jay, for Campolo, Middleton, McCormick, because the crew from the law firm just walked by here at the, trade show.
Banged them on the arm, too.
I said, don't forget to mention us.
Give me a
great
plug.
Great law firm on Long Island. Very happy to be
awesome
with them.
Stuff.
I'm wearing a number of hats. My common sense strategies, that does a lot of political commentary. My Center for Cost-Effective Government, as you know, Jay, that's the think tank where we're out there fighting for taxpayers, keeping the tax caps in place, trying to get rid of the regulations, trying to make this area more taxpayer-friendly.
Can it be?
It can be if there was only the will from these people in office, because we know what the problems are, we know what the solutions are. What's been lacking are the folks, mostly in Albany, who foist down the mandates upon the local governments, who are beholden to these special interests. So we're trying to crack through that.
It's a tough deal, I got to tell you. Steve Levy with us. What do you see here? I mean, you know, I don't even know where to begin with you. You know, we see the partisan beyond belief.
Yeah.
I've never seen it as bad of what I see in Washington. It's a trickle down into the state and, of course, into the county. I mean, have you ever seen it?
No.
You know, the partisans killing everything now. Partisan politics.
Two reasons for the hyper-partisanship.
Am I right with that, though?
You absolutely are. I mean, one of the reasons is because they've been redrawing the district lines through the gerrymandering. So the Democrats and Republicans give each other a wink and a nod. So a Democratic congressman will say, hey, look, to his Republican neighbor, I'll give you all of these Republicans out of my district. We'll draw it this way. You give me the Democrats in yours. So the Democratic district becomes even more Democratic. The Republican district becomes more Republican. So now these guys running for re-election, they're pretty much a shoo-in in the general, but they have to be worried about the primary. So Democrats will run further to the left. Republicans will run further to the right, and it's the middle class independents in the middle who are going to say, what about us? So that's one reason. The other reason is the cable shows. The cable shows are hyper-partisan.
They're inundated, beyond.
Inundated.
Right.
And, you know, it used to be even at least a pretense that you were trying to be down the middle of the road. No more. It's like, this is the conservative station.
We know. With Fox and CNN.
Station.
My goodness.
Everything else is just the liberal stations. You know, 9 out of 10 are far left stations. You got Fox, which is your right station. But where's the place you go to for the real hard news? I mean, you have some hard news within some of these elements, but most of it now is commentary. It's talking heads pontificating about who's right, who's wrong, my side, your side, tribalism. And there's, you know, you've lost that real hard news, you know?
Hey, listen, 100%, you know, we all grew up in that era, and you don't see it now. You see the swing. You can't take much more of what you know, I tell you the truth, you got to decipher it on your own. You got to formulate your own opinions, and you can't be swayed. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, you know, that's why, you know, people in my family will yell at me for watching Fox and then CNN and then NBC. You're driving me crazy watching all this stuff. But I said, I got to watch both because you got to get an idea of what's going on both. So you got some people, they just watch one or they just want to, and they're in this bubble. They never hear the other side, and it's so important that we talk to each other and do it civilly, be able to disagree civilly, which has gone out the
you
window.
You believe
now.
In this blue wave. You know, I look at what's happening in the state of New York now. I tell you, I'm not so sure. You know, I'm going to say right now, I think Andrew Cuomo could be in a little trouble here. And I'm not even talking with Mark Molinaro on the other side as far as GOP. You know, listen, Cynthia Nixon is more than a mosquito on an elephant's behind at this point, as I have put it. But I think it's making Cuomo squirm, and who knows? There are some effects of this. I mean, do you think he could be in some trouble in November?
She's been making him lurch brutally to the left. I mean, it is remarkable how far he's come. When Andrew Cuomo first ran in 2010, he basically stole my playbook. When I put out my white paper out there, was all about fiscal conservatism, social moderation, and going for the middle class. He took all of my points. tax cap. He was all that. A year or two later, he was scared by the Working Families Party. He's been Bernie Sanders on steroids. Now, I don't think Cynthia Nixon poses a threat to him in the Democratic primary, but if she were to stay on the Working Families Party line, that could be devastating.
I agree.
If she picks up 10-15% of the vote there, and you split that Democratic vote, a guy like Molinaro can come straight up the middle. It can happen. I think it's doubtful. I think she will bail at the end, so they'll have unity, and then it'll be very tough to
and
beat
the
him.
And the question is, you know, how much will Molinaro affect everything when it's all said and done? You know, that's the big question right now. I still think he has to get out there a little bit more. You know, we've heard the Molinaro name a little bit.
Well, it's early.
It's still early, though. Let's go into the counties real quick. You know, I look at deficits here. I look at a lot of situations, tax cap affecting the island next year in full. I look at the lack of jobs. I look at the millennials not really making it here. You know, I'd say right now there's a very down point in both counties, Nassau and Subic. Yeah. What do you think there?
Both budgets are unsustainable. And, you know, it's in large part because of these contracts that over
the years. It's out of control, Steve. It's out of control.
They're out of control. You know, you can't support people working for 20 years and then putting in all this overtime in the last year and then getting a $150,000 pension and, you know, a payout of $200,000, $300,000 for unused sick days. It's unsustainable, Jay. And that's why, you know, if you're going to have a control board, they really need to come in and say, we're voiding these contracts and we're going to start fresh because this place is going to collapse. And no one has
the guts
to do it.
You can't sustain it, my goodness gracious. And I correlated, Steve, if you have a baseball team of 25 guys, you can't have one guy making $40 million a year. You got to somehow level it off the playing field so that you have a representation of nine guys you can put on the field and compete. You can't compete here.
Jay, remember, even those sports teams, they still have caps. They have salary caps, so you know, at least the owner knows, that I might pay this guy 40 and this guy $2 million, but I'm capped. You know, there isn't absolutely, there's no cap in government. Because even with our 2% tax cap, you can always pierce it. You can always get around it with bonding. It's helped a lot.
Here's the thing.
But
I mean, do I have to hear a county executive holding steady at 188 when he could be making 234? I got the DA's assistant going up to 189. I'm going nuts here because the union guys are making 42 on the average. I mean, you can't tell me you got union concessions in a budget when you don't have any type of salvation as far as a contract is concerned. How in the heck is that part of an equation? As well as sales tax revenue, as unpredictable that, right, as that is.
Well, I think you hit on something important. You know, not all contracts are the same. And we can't lump all unions in as one group. You know, you could have an Association of Municipal Employees guy who works in public works. He might have been working there for 25 years. He's still only making $50,000. That's not an excessive salary. Yet you have some other unions where they're making $220,000, and that's where the discrepancy comes in. But you know, you have to lead by example. I know I did. I gave a lot of my salary back. I know the present executive is doing the same. It's good symbolically to do that, but that's a pittance. You've got to get to the core. It's the thousands and thousands of people making these pensions and, you know, the overtime.
Just drives you crazy. Yeah. Board of Election guys making $144K and then going to school at night to do other things down the road. I mean, my goodness, where are we at here as a society? It's out of whack. It's
well,
got to be solved.
You know, again, the county level is usually only about 11, 10% of the budget. So much of it is schools. But all of these levels of government really got to look to the state for them to stop pushing down these mandates and really going in there with these control boards and saying, look, it's unsustainable, it's going to collapse. We have to start from scratch in a lot of these places. It's a very desperate step, but as you're saying, Jay, we're in desperate times here. Kids can't afford to
be smart. Got to be smart. You know, listen, if you want to have that family, you know, unity and everything else and have kids stay here and not go to Carolina and take some two-beat job and everything else to make a living. I mean, Mike, that's I tell you, dire times right now. Always great seeing you, sir.
Thank you, Jay. Keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
Thank you, pal. Steve Levy, folks. We'll be back.